How's it going today?
Good, Ange. How are you?
Good. Well, welcome back. This is another episode of Money in the Bank. So I just wanted to start by addressing the elephant in the room. We went to video, and then we went away from video. So we were just having a lot of technical difficulties with it. We had some good equipment, but I don't think it was really quite the right equipment. And after all, we're first and foremost a podcast, so we want to be able to deliver the best audio we can. So we're just going back to this format, and I think it's going to work out pretty well.
Yep, we'll see if we pick that back up again later, tweak our adjustments and our setup, but this is good enough for me for now.
Yeah, and we kind of like it, you know, we can be nice and cozy and lounging around. Well, so today, since, you know, we're into 2018, I figured what better time than to review our 2017 annual spending and tell everybody exactly what we spent for the year, leave no stone unturned.
And we did this a little while ago with a monthly budget, right, for 2017.
Yes.
So now we're doing the entire year.
Yeah, and I think it's good because, you know, I think our month that we showed was an average month when we're home, but our annual spending is quite a bit higher because we travel so much and we budget to travel. But we, you know, it's not really genuine if we don't show that. So, you know, we showed a month where we were home and we showed our budget for that, which is very low. But then, you know, our annual spending is a little bit higher if you average it out. So I wanted to kind of show that as well. So to kick this off, I wanted to start by asking you a trivia question, as I love to do. So do you have a guess to how much the average U.S. household spent in 2016? They don't have the 2017 data available yet.
Oh, well, of course not. Annually?
Yes.
For the whole family?
For the whole family.
I don't know, like $40,000, $50,000?
So $57,311.
Not too far away. Okay.
Yeah, and it's actually been increasing at about a rate of 3-4% a year. So it's actually increasing a little bit faster than inflation. So, you know, it's not just goods are going up. People are actively choosing to spend more money year over year, which is no surprise to me. But I think it's kind of funny because I think we try to spend less money year after year. So just to compare that, so the average household, and this includes, you know, single family homes or, you know, two dual incomes or, you know, families of four. This is just any household in America. Our annual spending was $49,300. So we are coming in a little lower, which I think makes sense because there's only two of us. But I would still like to put the caveat out there that, you know, people are listening to this and you're like, well, no wonder you guys, you know, you always tell me to save more money, but you're spending $49,000 a year and that's so much money and I don't even make that amount. I would say we only spend that because we know we can still hit all of our saving goals, and we are very aware of the situation that there are extras in our budget that if we made less money, we could cut out tomorrow.
Yep, and there's a lot of things in this list that we'll talk about that, you know, are pretty large expenses, I think, that most people don't necessarily need to have, and that we're fortunate enough to, like, to be able to get those things.
Well, so I will add in that this number for us does include our vacations. We did have to get a new furnace this year, which I did not include that number because we kind of included that in our 2016 numbers. When we bought this house, we knew we were going to have to replace the furnace. Mm-hmm. So it might not include all of the big expenditures you're thinking of. I tried to, you know, include the ones that made sense.
But so, most of our vacation and everything, I mean, there was a lot of money that went into vacation last year because we did a European trip and we did two European trip and a South American or Central American trip.
Yeah, so we had two international vacations. So yeah, let's just jump right in, and I'm going to go in order of largest to smallest expense because I think that'll be kind of fun.
Okay.
So our largest expense was our mortgage, which isn't surprising to me at all.
Okay.
So we spent $13,200 on our mortgage. And this includes, you know, we pay a little bit extra to, you know, pay the principal down, but this is just our number. And I would definitely say that this was a choice. We chose to get a bigger mortgage to get into the house and neighborhood we wanted. So this is something that, like, if we really needed to, we could definitely downsize.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably not much else to say about a mortgage, so moving on. Our next fund, do you want to guess?
Does this have real estate in it? Because I'd say that.
No. I kept our real estate out since that's our business.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Vacation.
Vacation. All right.
That which, idea. Two international trips. So we spent almost $8,000 on vacations last year. But that includes everything. So from flights to hotels to food. And I mean, anybody listening to our podcast knows that we don't play when it comes to eating food.
Right. I mean, for my birthday, Angela got us a trip to Chicago to just eat nonstop for the entire weekend at great places. So yeah, food was a huge expense for us anytime we went on vacation.
Yeah. And this includes that too, actually. And we even flew there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this actually includes, you know, I know we went to visit my grandparents a lot, and they live about 500 miles away, and, you know, we would get hotels there. So this includes, like, all of our side road trips, too. So really, you know, I think for as much as we travel, we probably traveled for a total of 2 months this year, I would say. $4,000 a person, you know, we obviously did some travel hacking to get it a little bit lower. We went to Louisville for a long weekend to go on the Bourbon Trail recently. I was out in San Francisco. I mean, I think we've kind of been like all over the place this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then the next budget is groceries.
Okay. So now we're into the regular family stuff, right?
Yeah. So we spent about $7,000 on groceries this year.
It's higher than I would have thought for our eating habits and with our farm share and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I think part of the reason it's a little high is we do an annual holiday party every year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have all these people over and we use it to raise, you know, donations for charity, which we've valued this and we end up raising more than it costs us. But, you know, that includes about $400 for the food for our annual party. It includes almost $1,000 for the pig that we bought.
Okay.
Which most of that meat will be consumed in 2018.
Right, we just started eating that now, so
yeah. And then it also includes like gifts. So I know one example is for your dad, we got him a huge prime rib for his birthday, which is not something we would normally buy ourselves to eat.
Right, that was like $100 right there.
Yeah, so, you know, it includes all of those sorts of things. And it includes our lovely dog, Stormy, who eats chicken and potatoes and rice. And she's sitting by us and looking very happy as I talk about this. So, you know, her food, we've averaged out to be about $1.50 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's included in there as well. So, you know, while we're only two adults, we are feeding basically a half an adult.
Yeah, so I mean, that is like $500 to $600 a year. That at least, right?
Yeah, so I mean, but I do think there's still some work for us to do there. I think being a little bit more mindful of our spending and planning ahead, you know, I think that's an area I would like to see reduced in 2018.
Yep, so new goals for us.
Yep. So then the next category, which maybe will anger some people, is other. This isn't meant to hide anything, it's just a lot of miscellaneous stuff. Like if I ran to Home Depot, you know, we built a bench this year. Or if I went to Target and got, you know, some odds and ends for girlfriends or, you know, baby showers. There was a lot of baby showers and stuff this year. So this was just kind of something where I, you know, Amazon orders or whatever. It was just really hard to break out. This also includes some charity. I noticed, you know, we had some donations and I just didn't want to do separate line items. So our other category is sitting at $5,000, which I know is high, but, you know, I kind of know some of the stuff that is going on in there. Didn't really want to break it all out. It would have led to way too many categories.
So I think this is an interesting one, though, because I think this is really high for a lot of people, because it's easy to, especially like you mentioned, like just buying stuff on Amazon, you know, that can get really high. And we have, you know, we know several people that are just in a trap of, you know, they just keep getting stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And this, you know, grows out of control if you're not monitoring how much you're actually spending on this stuff. And just, you know, you just keep getting the boxes coming to your house, you know, every day. So.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I think, you know, while I don't want to break down all of the details of my other category on this podcast because it would make it entirely too long, I do have a good, very good sense of what's going into this category. And knowing what expenses will repeat themselves and which ones won't. You know, one other huge thing that was in this category is we painted our entire house.
Mm-hmm.
And paint is expensive. So I think this will definitely be lower for us in the future. And if I was seeing $5,000 in other every year and I didn't know what was going into it, I would definitely isolate that and dig into it. But, you know, as it stands, I'm more so am just comfortable leaving it as that category to not have to talk about it for
an hour. Yeah, I'm actually happy that it's, like, the number that it is. I'm impressed that it's not higher to be the catch-all for everything, right?
Right.
And I think for everybody else listening, you know, look at what that number would be for you. And it's probably going to be a lot higher, I would guess, for most average
people. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So then the next category, do you want to guess?
Healthcare?
No.
With all the injuries you had this year, no?
No. Restaurants.
Okay.
Our love of eating is higher than my need for medical treatment, I guess.
Yeah, so we set a goal, what was it, in like October or September, somewhere in that time frame, to, you know, try and eat out a little bit less than we had been doing. But before that, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of business as usual. We were moving during the beginning part of the year, so there was a lot of eating out there, less cooking involved. We were, like you said, we were traveling and stuff all summer long, and, you know, so probably we were eating out a little bit more. So what was that number?
So that number was 3,500. Okay. So
not terrible, but still a little bit higher than I think we were shooting for.
Yeah, and I you know, I do want to mention when I gave our vacation budget, that was inclusive of, any going out to eat, like in Europe, for example. But this might be, you know, the week before vacation when you're like, oh, I'm just going to grab Culver's every night because I don't want to have to buy food that's just going to go bad, right? And I think the biggest thing is when we were moving. We had, you know, kind of a tough move. Our old house didn't sell for about 6 months from when we were already kind of half living in the new house. But we had to keep the old house staged. So half our stuff was there, half our stuff was here. When we, you know, put our house on the market and we were still living in it, we couldn't really use the kitchen because we literally had showings almost every day. Our house showed over 100 times, which was, our realtor was like, this is unheard of, right?
Right.
And so we had a really kind of unique situation where we really couldn't, if we used our kitchen, like if I made smoothies in the morning, I had to make sure that the blender looked pristine again to get it back out on the countertop. So it was just kind of a really tough thing where, you know, maybe we could have found ways to work around that more, but we ended up going out to solve our problems. And I will say, you know, I looked at this from October on and it was significantly reduced. So I think we have been a lot more aware of it recently. And I think this is an area where we will definitely see a decline in 2018 as well.
Mm-hmm. So, 'cause we haven't really missed anything. I mean, at all.
No, I think, you know, it's really kind of fun as you know, we've kind of been on this journey of eating for a few years, and very soon here, I actually want to do a podcast episode on our grocery bill budget for the month and what that bought us and what recipes we have, and then I can put links back out on our website. But, you know, we've kind of refined our cooking skills where, like, now we're making things that are so good at home that, you know, the other day I posted on Instagram, I made a brunch at home with a mimosa and the total cost per person was $250. And we had this like awesome hash with a poached egg on top and a mimosa. And I mean, for $5, if you go out to eat, you're going to spend $5 on one mimosa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, this is an area where once you can kind of give yourself a better experience than what you have at a restaurant, it's very easy to cut this out and not miss it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. I think our 2018 number will really reflect that. All right. So then what do you think our next bucket was?
Now is it healthcare?
So now it's insurance, which is kind of close. Okay. But I actually broke out insurance and medical to be separate since we're on a high deductible plan. I wanted to kind of show, you know, on a high deductible plan, what our medical costs are. And, you know, fortunately for us, my health insurance is really good through work. So we pay a whopping like $80 a month to have health insurance, which I know we're really lucky to have that. But our insurance costs for the year were $3,500. This includes both autos being insured, two homes being insured for 4 months, and then one home for the other 8 months.
Yep, okay.
So that, you know, this is another area where I would expect to see reductions. And we actually did a podcast episode recently about how we called around and got better rates on everything.
Right. Because that was around the October timeframe or August timeframe that we, you know, redid all of our insurance for,
yep,
you know, everything that we have now and saved about $1,000 a year. But yeah, right. That number didn't kick in until, yeah, October. So.
And you also did buy a whole life policy this year.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's about $1,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there, you know, there's kind of a lot in this number. And we have an umbrella policy for our business, which I did include the umbrella. I did not include the insurance we have on our rental properties. But yeah, so now the next category that you've been hinting at for a long time is our medical expenses. So, you know, I did have a lot higher medical expenses than usual. I had to go to urgent care twice. Before this year, I had never actually been to urgent care in my entire life. And then I got to go twice this year, so how lucky, right?
Within, like, a couple weeks.
Yeah. So, yeah, we spent $2,800 on medical expenses this year. This also included quite a bit of counseling for me. I think we talked about it briefly, but my, you know, my grandpa passed away this year. So, you know, just different medical expenses in there. But I wanted to be very transparent about this number because I think, especially in America, everyone talks about how high deductible plans are the worst and your medical expenses are going to be very high. Well, you know, I'm an otherwise fairly healthy 27-year-old, and I did have things come up this year, but, you know, total out-of-pocket for several office visits, therapy, urgent care was $2,800. I know that number is really high and really scary for a lot of people, but you can contribute $3,300 per individual to an HSA every year. So, you know, for me, this all just came out of my health saving account, and I didn't have to, you know, worry about it. That's why the money's there. So, you know, if your employer offers a high deductible plan, a lot of times they will match health saving account contributions up to a certain amount a year, or they will dump in a certain amount. So, you know, very commonly you'll have a company give you $500 or $1,000 to start your HSA and match 50 cents on the dollar up to $1,000 or something. So, you know, very quickly within a couple of years, you can get, you know, a good baseline in there. And then when you have a year like we did, where you have almost $3,000 in medical expenses, it's pretty easy to stomach at that point.
Right. Cause I wouldn't expect to see that number again next year. That's not really, those aren't reoccurring expenses.
Right.
Those are situational expenses.
And I would say this is the highest we've had probably since when we lived in Chicago and I had some other crazy medical anomalies going on with me.
Yeah.
All right. So then the next one is utilities. Now, do you want to guess where this number shook out?
I don't know, $100 a month, maybe like $1,500 somewhere in there. We
had so 2,200.
Oh yeah, because we had two houses for
and
a good part of the year.
And our other house leaked air like nobody's business, and so we had to pay the worst 3 months of the year with January, February, March. And this also includes things like trash removal, which we had to pay at both houses for a bit, and water and sewage, which in our new house, those are combined in a very low bill. At our old house, those were separated and billed monthly. So those were $60 a month at our old house, just for water and sewage. Plus you think gas and electric, which is about $100. So,
because when your utility providers, like for water and sewage, are not the same company, you have to pay those base fees,
yeah,
those things that never, even if you don't use any water, right? You're still paying like what, $15 to $30 a month?
Exactly.
Just for having the ability to turn the water on.
Yep.
Right. And so yeah, with two different companies, you're paying twice the fees and twice the price.
Exactly. And they were billed monthly, so we had those base fees monthly. Our new utility service provider bills quarterly, so we have a $15 base fee still, but they're combined and they bill quarterly. So basically our base fee is a sixth of what it used to be. Which is awesome. So these are things that I'm saying and kind of harping on this a little bit more than I usually would, because when you are buying a house, you can ask for the utilities, and most people just ask for gas and electric, but ask for water and sewage, because I've been, you know, after when I was trying to figure out where we wanted to move our second house, I started digging into this. And I mean, water costs can literally vary in our, within a 30-mile radius of Lansing where we live, water costs can range from, you know, $15 a month that we pay to $75 a month. Wow. Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's really, for this area, that's really, really high for water.
Yeah. So, you know, once I found that out, I was like, oh my God, you know, like, that's just something you don't even think about when you're buying a house. But be aware of the situation and make the right decision, right? That's what we always preach. Oh, and I will add that this also includes our internet, which we play the Comcast game. So.
Yeah, you got to renegotiate that every time the deal comes up. So,
all right. Well, then the next category, which I am super happy about this number because I feel like it's dropped like a rock from 2016, are auto and transport. we clocked in at $1,700 this year for gas, oil changes, maintenance, wear and tear. The year before, we were at $5,400.
Wow, that's a big, big difference.
Yeah. So I'm taking complete credit for this one with my biking. And, you know, my bike, in full disclosure, costs about $400. So I would say it was a good investment.
Yeah.
The ROI for that is, like, off the charts.
Right? Immediate return.
1,000% ROI. Sick. All right. So the next one is a gift category. I would say that this probably used to be way higher for you because you were, like,
When I graduated and got my first job and, like, had this big, like, paycheck and stuff, I was very focused on making sure that I got, like, the best Christmas presents or the best birthday presents for everybody that I knew. So, yeah, I was spending, like, $1,000 every time, like, Christmas rolled around just to buy Christmas presents for people, so.
Yeah. So.
That's just not sustainable, though, right?
We clocked in at about $890 this year. But, you know, we have pretty big families. Right. And this is an area where if we can do something for somebody, we're going to do it because we know we have the money. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we need to say much else about that one. The next one was German class. We spent about $480 for us to go to MSU and take a German class this fall. But I think, you know, anytime you're spending money on education, I'm not really going to harp on people too much. If you have the money, right? So don't put something like this on a credit card, but it's a pretty beneficial experience. And you will know as I'm going through all of these that we don't have a strict entertainment budget. And this is probably something we did for entertainment.
Right. A lot of what we would do for entertainment is probably free. I mean, we have the Netflix account. We bought a Switch this year. I mean, so we've been playing some games on that as well. Probably all that fell into, like, the other category of, like, miscellaneous purchases.
Right? Yeah.
But, it's, you know, entertainment budget used to be, like, oh, going to the movie theater and, like, you know, doing things around town or, like, theater tickets. And, I mean, that's just a hard category in general because, you know, what do you classify as entertainment? Some people consider, like, going out to the bar and stuff as entertainment.
Right.
you know, we don't have a whole lot of those expenses either, so it doesn't make sense to make that, you know, kind of our own category.
Exactly. So then the next category is our lovely dog Stormy. She also had some medical expenses this year. Hers were a little bit less than mine, but she came in at $450. She had a seizure, well, a couple seizures this year, and so we had to run some blood work and see, you know, some other various things to make sure she's happy and healthy. So that's just kind of the cost of having animals. So
usually her maintenance is not as high anyway. I mean, her vet bills aren't even as bad as they used to be. You know, we had a really expensive vet, and now we have a really good vet that is far less expensive, and they don't run unnecessary tests or, you know, just have her come in for really expensive annual maintenance or anything like that. So
yeah, that's a really good point. You know, our old vet, they're both good vets. Our new one has been really great because she's a little bit more understanding of our holistic approach to feeding our dog homemade dog food. And so our old one per office visit was like $150 just to get in the door to see her. Our new one is $60.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just as good. They can prescribe all the same medication and everything. So that's another thing. You know, if you have pets and you have been going to a vet and you're like, oh, they're fine, but whatever, just shop around a little bit and see if there's, you know, a highly rated vet in your area that's a fraction of the cost. All right. So the next category, you know, we've mentioned going out to bars and things like that, and it is our alcohol budget. So we spent $310 on alcohol this year. I would say, you know, that includes when we were in Louisville and we were going to distilleries. That includes if we go up north and we go to wineries and maybe grab a bottle of wine. So I'm actually not unhappy with that number.
But it wouldn't include, like, wine that we would get at the grocery store to have, like, on a regular weeknight or cook with or anything like
that. Right. That would be in our grocery budget.
Okay.
But this, you know, anytime, I know that we've gone to some distilleries around town and, you know, Michigan is, like, home of breweries, right? Everybody.
Craft beer. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have distilleries everywhere in the area. You know, surprisingly, you wouldn't think there'd be that many around here. You know, we're not a great climate for it, but we're a pretty good climate for it, I suppose. But people don't think that. I was surprised. I think there's like 6 within like, you know, within 50 miles of where we live.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so $30 a month for 2 people, $15 a month, we're really looking at like three drinks a person, and honestly, it's not even, like, we go out that much. It's, I know half of this probably is from going to wineries and bringing home bottles.
Yep. Especially going down to Kentucky, we bought some things down there as well.
Exactly. Excuse me. All right, well, the next category is furnace maintenance. So that was $190 for us this year. Get our air conditioner and furnace service. And, you know, I said we got a new furnace this year. That doesn't mean that this expense will go away. I think furnaces and air conditioners are something that I've learned if you take care of them and get them cleaned and, you know, make sure they're running well, it actually does really extend the life of the unit.
It does. It absolutely does. I mean, because the one that we had here was definitely well taken care of. It was very clean. All the parts were maintained. Nothing was rusting. Nothing fell apart. You know, nothing was too dusty because they were maintaining it for 30 years. So it lasted 30 years.
Right.
Right. And, you know, it got to the point where literally part of it was like rusting through because the metal was so old.
Yeah.
And like where the like blasters right out in the furnace are kicking on and off, like it was eventually like wearing the metal down from turning the heat on and off so much.
And honestly, we were like on the fence of replacing it or not, but it was 35 years old. And they basically said, you know, the metal is wearing out and eventually it'll just kind of give and carbon monoxide might leak into the home. So for safety, we just replaced it. But the unit itself, we could have just, like, recased it, but that would have been just as expensive as getting a new one. So we got a new one.
Right, I mean, all the normal things that would have normally failed, like the blower motor goes out, the fan that runs for both the air conditioner and the furnace that blows the stuff through your vents, that usually fails first. I mean, that was still in good condition.
Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of things that could go wrong with it were still running just fine, so... Just exactly. A unique situation where, yeah, I mean, we got to the point where it was physically failing. Like, the container of it was failing before the parts were, so.
Yeah. All right, well, the next category is probably mostly me, so I'll take ownership of it right off the bat. It's the fitness category. But I'm glad that it's so far down on the list because, as you know, I used to run several half marathons a year, and one half marathon would be the cost of what I spent in 2017, which was $77. This was a handful of 5Ks I did around town, but I really just kind of started finding 5Ks that were free or cheaper. And you know, I still focus on my fitness. I think health is really important and you should take care of yourself, but I moved to actually have a home gym this year. So I used to go, you know, to a different gym, but now I have like everything set up in the basement and I bike to work. Everybody knows that. So I'm finding ways to get my fitness goals in without spending quite as much money. Now, in terms of comparing to projected budget, this is probably something that will definitely go up because I found a gym in town that I really like, so I'm going to drop in and do some classes there this year.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, this is another category that if you have the money, if you're in debt payoff mode, I say cut out all this extra crap and pay off your debt. But once you don't have the debt, then you just make really conscious decisions of what is adding value to my life. And I think taking care of your body is something that definitely adds value to your life. So I won't really judge anybody that has a higher expense than me in this area.
Right. I mean, there's the stereotype of it's New Year's, people pay for gym memberships that they never use, right? It's a multi-billion dollar industry just for that alone happening. I know you will use it. Right. Just from what you purchased and how you've already been there several times and it's not even the middle of January yet. Right. And, you know, the expenses, I think, are worth it in the long term for your healthcare. If you're going to use it. Right. If you're going to be that person that's not using it and you just spend it to make yourself feel better, you know, that's not good. That's not a good long term investment. But the person that is taking care of themselves long term on a regular basis, not me, is going to have lower medical expenses in the future. Right.
Right. And, you know, I think just be aware of this. So, you know, if you start going to a gym that's costing you like $100 a month and you go four times a month, probably not worth it. But, you know, in my situation, I found something that's kind of like a drop in high intensity class and I got the price to be about $9 a class, which, you know, for me, it's a good way. You know, I have some friends that go there. It's a good way for me to be social and get a workout in. And I'm going to do it, you know. So, you know, I think just kind of be aware of your situation and make sure you're making the best decision, which is probably like the number one thing we say on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So the next category kind of goes hand in hand. It is biking related expenses. So we did buy my bike in 2016, but this year I bought some saddlebags for my bike, and I bought a bell for my bike, and I bought a little side mirror so I can see what's going on next to me. That was about $50 for all of my bike maintenance this year. I even got some lube for my chain to keep it running. So
I mean, it is a mechanical device, so just like any mechanical device, it takes maintenance.
Yep, but significantly less than my car, so I still consider that a win. Now, the last budget on here is something that I usually would have lumped this into other, but I broke it out specifically because we talk about this so much on the podcast, and I wanted to prove to everybody that I practice what I preach. My coffee budget was $30 this year.
Okay.
Which I think some people spend that in a week. So, and you know, for me, I would say that really the reason it's this high even is because I'll meet friends for coffee or I'll go and study. I have to study a lot. I'm still taking professional exams. And so a lot of times I'll just be like, oh, I need to get out of the house because I haven't been out of the house in 2 weeks. And I go study up at Big B or something. Mm-hmm. But a big thing is I've switched to buying black coffee instead of a fancy drink. And then, you know, it's $2 or less than $2. And so, you know, I got 15 to 20 coffees this year.
There you go. Yep. I mean, so that cuts back quite a lot. And, you know, I guess you quote unquote treat yourself every once in a while, I suppose.
Yeah.
But cool. That's what it is. Yeah, breaking that down. And so if you were getting a coffee that was $5 a day, you know, every day for the work year, I mean, that's $1,000, right?
Yep.
That
we talked about before. Over $1,000.
You were at 30 this year, so can't argue with that.
Yep. All right. Well, that is our entire budget. So similar to what I did on the last, when we talked about our monthly budget, I broke down what we needed to earn per hour to kind of frame, like, if we lost our jobs tomorrow, could we support our lifestyle? So if we didn't change anything and we spent all that money again, we would have to earn $15 an hour, which, you know, for me, that provides a little bit of reinsurance because I think with our skill sets and our degrees, it would be quite easy, even if we lost our jobs, to find jobs to pay us $15 an hour. But I also took that one step further and I said, okay, what is our no-frills budget? So if we lost our jobs tomorrow, we would probably immediately cut out vacations. We would definitely cut out restaurants and, you know, gifts and, you know, even Stormy Chow might have to kind of go on the back burner.
I don't know about that.
We wouldn't sign up for German classes. We wouldn't buy any coffee, any alcohol, right? We would cut back in almost every area. And our no-frills budget would be $32,000.
Okay.
Which, for me, that is really reassuring because that's like chopping $20,000 off our budget right off the bat. And definitely something that I think would be very easy for us to afford.
So that's all the fixed expenses, like the insurance still, the utilities.
The mortgage.
Yeah, I just saw the mortgage is about half that, right?
Yep.
Right there. Yeah, it was $13,000, so yeah, a little bit less than half.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's important to kind of have that in the back of your mind. So, you know, we always talk about having an emergency fund, and an emergency fund should cover, you know, 3 to 6 months of your expenses. But I think it's also important to know that your emergency fund, you know, I always tell people, like, have a comfortable emergency fund, but having too much money just sitting in your bank is actually costing you money, and it's counterproductive, right? Because you're losing money to inflation, and you should probably do something to make that money work harder for you. So I think that's why it's kind of important because, you know, for us, we have an emergency fund, but I always kind of base that off of, well, if it was truly an emergency and we both lost our jobs, we would not spend what we spend today.
Right.
So I always kind of base it off of my no-frills budget instead.
That makes more sense because you're going to be a little bit tighter with that. Hopefully you're going to be a little bit more tighter with your spending if you don't have any income rolling in.
You should be. Absolutely. All right. Well, that reviews our entire 2017. Do you have anything else, any other comments to add, or?
I mean, so doing this exercise and going back and looking at your expenses throughout the year, again, we use, I mean, what were the tools you used to help build this out?
I entirely used Mint.
Mint.com?
Mint.com.
Okay. So you can use that. I mean, it's a free website. We've talked about it before many times. It lets you track all your expenses for your credit cards, your bank accounts, like everything together. So you can see your entire profile of how you're exercising throughout the year. Yeah, I think it's a good exercise for people to go and do that. If they're not going to do it for last year, like start now and start recording your expenses now, and you can be able to do it for next year.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because we say all these websites all the time that we love. And so I actually added a recommendation tab to our website. So you can go on there. If you don't remember what we're saying, you can go on there and click around. And I have links to Mint and Personal Capital and Prolific, which is like a survey site that we recommend. So you can go on there and see, you know, see what we use and what we recommend. It's all on there now.
Yeah, and everything so. We always recommend is free. So you don't worry about any kind of fees or anything like that.
Exactly. All right. Well, yeah, thanks for tuning into this week's episode then.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Money in the Bank. Make sure to subscribe to us on the iTunes or Stitcher app so that you get weekly alerts every time we post a podcast. Or if you want, you can visit my website, moneyinthebankpodcast.com. And if you want to reach out with any questions or further comments, please email me at Angie@moneyinthebankpodcast.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Money in the Bank.